Did we read the whole thing of the ashes? What happened? I mean, in the scriptures.
Yeah,
we were down there where they would throw the stick off and drag it out.
No, no, that's from the. No, we read Numbers 19.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm just gonna. I thought we did hadn't read it, so let me talk about some of the stuff. The heifer was used, the ashes of the heifer were used whenever anyone touched death. Or when death touched them by accident, it didn't matter. I mean, if little Elizabeth found a bone, and the bone was a human bone that had been dug up from centuries ago, and she was playing with the bone, and she carried the bone through the house, and everybody in the house is unclean, and the house is unclean. If she threw away the bone and washed her hands even, and you picked her up and carried her, you were unclean. You were cut off from God. I mean, it's not a light matter. You were cut off from God. It didn't matter how sincere you were, there was no possibility of having fellowship. You were eternally damned. The thing that I want to get across to you about death is that it doesn't matter one iota what you think about it. I mean, not obviously death in its final analysis doesn't require any, doesn't care what you think about it. But being defiled by death it doesn't matter what your theology is. It doesn't matter whether you believe it's fair or not. It doesn't matter whether you believe that you're above it. The fact is that touching death or being in an alliance with death defiles you. And it causes you to be defiled to such an extent that your ability to even think correctly is wrong, is severely impaired. So does everybody, can you start to get a handle on what we're talking about? Doesn't care what your philosophy about it is. Doesn't care whether you think you're guilty or not. Fact is you're guilty. Now the question is there any remedy? And the remedy, again, you got to understand this. This remedy is something that, it has no basis, no meaning, until you've reached a certain point in your spiritual life. And you could have gone to church forever in Egypt. You could have been at the best church, the best intellectual discussions, the greatest band, the greatest orchestra, the greatest choir. And the idea of what death was in terms of defiling could never have touched you. Because you would never have been at a spiritual place where you'd have known the difference. You were so eternally separated anyway that all of your exercises were down here in the cesspool, and you're trying to claim you're up here in the mountains, but you're really in the cesspool. Peace. Okay, death didn't have any meaning in the first part of the wilderness journey when you're going around all complaining about yourself. Oh, poor me, I'm a victim of everybody. Oh, poor me. I just think that attorney's got some against us. Oh, poor me. I'm convinced that I need to change my job. Oh, poor me. Whatever it is, the idea of death has no, or being defiled by death, you've got too many other things on the table to be able to find out whether to be having any interest at all of whether you're defiled by death or not. You're too busy defining whether or not you like Dallas. Is there anybody I've left out?
No, I couldn't hear you.
Huh? Couldn't hear me?
Yeah.
You can only be knowledgeable about whether or not death has defiled you after you've received the law. And then you can only be knowledgeable about whether or not death has defiled you after you've been part of a body. And you can only be knowledgeable about whether death has defiled you after you've been part of a body for at least 3 years, if you believe the scriptures. Well, unfortunately, we've redeemed the time, so everybody's been here 3 years tonight. And somehow, this is a sacrifice that nobody understands. We're going to take this fat old cow, she's 3 years old, and we're going to burn her until she explodes. All right? And then we're going to carefully collect all the ashes that were from this. All right? Then we're going to go down here to the brook that's next to the dump. And we're going to go through this ceremony, and we're going to have little kids live in a cave. And the little kids have to do this special ceremony with the ride bulls, and they have to come down there. And then they have to get these little, and then they have to get the water from this one little place that's down here next to the dump. Okay? And then they can only be stored in a vessel that's made out of the dung of this animal that we burned so that it got so hot that it exploded and stunk bad and smelled bad and got all over everybody. But that, when we get it right, that'll purify you and cleanse you. Right.
This is what the cartoon sacrifice.
Huh? Well, it's like, I mean, it's up for right along with God telling Noah to build an ark.
Yeah, you'll be cut off my foot, you know.
Or Abraham, God telling Abraham.
Yeah. You mean the white mouth baby?
There's only been seven of these animals in all of history that have been eligible to be used for this. We're getting pretty far out here. All right. The color had to be, the heifer had to be at least 3 years old. She had to be the color red. Color of blood. She had to be without spot. There could be no black hair nor white hair, or there couldn't be a follicle on her body that didn't have a hair. There couldn't be a freckle or a blemish on the skin of the animal. There couldn't be a little teeny wart. There couldn't be two hairs growing out of the same follicle. It could never have had so much as a napkin laid upon it. It could never have done any work. It could never have gotten any food anywhere except in the Promised Land, in the nation of Israel. Couldn't be killed by the high priest. It had to be killed only by the successor to the high priest. Had to mix it with cedar wood, hyssop, and scarlet wool. Now, they built this. Did I tell you? We talked about that?
About the pyre bonfire.
Head toward the south. Toward the gate.
Facing this pillar. And they had to cut this out real quickly and sprinkle seven times.
Yep.
Let's go to Hebrews now. Did I talk to you about what means what an idolater asked Rabbi Zakkai?
No.
This rabbi was talking to this Gentile idolater. It was pretty bright, and they had great discussions. There's a whole section of the Talmud. It's the discussions with the rabbi and this idolater. It says, quote, "These rites that you perform look like some kind of witchcraft."
Yeah, you do.
Did I do that?
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Oh, you did, because you heard it when you were at Stealth.
Oh.
She's not reading ahead.
You bring in a cow, you burn it, you pound it and take its ashes. Huh?
Just said you blow it up.
You blow it up. If one of you is defiled by a dead body, you sprinkle on him two or three drops, and you say to him, "Thou art clean." Isn't that some kind of a witchcraft? The rabbi asked him, "Have you ever seen a man possessed by the demon of madness?" "Yes," said he. "And what do you do in such a case?" "Well, we bring roots, and we make them smoke under him, Then we sprinkle water on him, and the demon flees." Rabbi said, "Precisely so is the spirit on the defiled person, a spirit of uncleanness. As it is written, 'I will cause the unclean spirit to pass out of the land.' The water of purification is sprinkled on the unclean, and the spirit flees." When the idolater had gone, the disciples said, "Master, this man you have put off with a mere makeshift. But what will you tell us?" The rabbi said, "It is not the dead that defiles, nor the water that purifies. The Holy One, blessed be He, says, 'This is the statute of the law.'" Now, anytime you see the word statute, it means what? Can't do it, but you got to do it anyway. So it's not, the rabbi knew that it wasn't the dead that defiles, and he knew that it wasn't the water that purified. But he finessed the disciple by saying, if it's a statute, you got to do it. Now, this is how, you understand? This is how the rabbis still explain the ashes of the red heifer to disciples. Because that's the way it is. The Holy One has it for His own purposes. Remember what we said about, we talked about, this one. Why are all the communal sacrifices male, and this one female? Rabbi Ibu explains, quote, "A handmaiden's boy polluted the king's palace. The king said, 'Let his mother come and clear away the filth.' In the same way, God said, 'Let their heifer come and atone for the incident of the golden calf.'" Hebrews 12. Hebrews, did I say 12? I don't mean 12. Hebrews 10. That's pretty close.
Plus 17.
Double T. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins or consciousness. But if those sacrifices, in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. And then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Now let's go over to 9:12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? In both of these, that signify some of these mysteries of the offering, and here in specific, with great specificity, the ashes of the heifer, it has something to do with conscience. It has something to do with see, before the body was formed, before we became a group of people, and even for the first long time, while we were a group of people, but I was convinced that if I got killed, the body would fall apart, I could conceive of a state of being in which there would be no consciousness of sin or of mistake. But I couldn't ever believe it was possible to be in that state. To be in a state of being in which you had no more consciousness of the idea that you could make a mistake, except as if it hurt somebody. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That nothing that you did in and of itself was a mistake, except as it applied to someone else. Do you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It would have to have a measure, that side effect.
When Paul said, "All things are permissible, but all things edify not," I knew that there was a point there that was something that I didn't yet understand. You know what I'm talking about? You believe he said that?
What's the last part of that scripture? All things are permissible, but I didn't hear the rest.
But all things don't edify. Let's go to that one. Ephesians. Where is it? Ephesians?
I don't know.
These great Bible scholars.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Rick, you don't need it. Yeah, it's in Ephesians.
Why don't you find it for us, Rick?
Ephesians
4. Oops.
We missed the scamma. I got you, scamma.
Ed probably knows.
Well, no, I know. I mean, it's obvious. Ed and edify. He has to know.
The covenant of Ed?
Well, I was close. It's 1 Corinthians.
One of those Paul things.
1 Corinthians 10.
Is that Ephesians?
That doesn't sound anything like Ephesians.
The accountant's fees. It's gonna be, sorry, must have, that's not.
That's the list.
So he must have used. To prove that I am.
All things, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient.
I'm not in the right spot.
First Corinthians 10:23.
No, Ephesians 10:23.
Oh, stop. No, what is First Corinthians?
Hebrews 14:12.
First hat rack.
Hebrews 16.
First hat rack.
All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Now you can read the next one for Tilton.
Yeah, let no man seek his own, but every man another's will. I love that. We'll pull that one right out. We really ought to mail that one.
He'll like that one.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, I'm the other man.
Reminds me of the widow and the
little widow.
Back before I was so rudely interrupted by Ed.
Yeah.
I want you to be aware that there is a state of consciousness, a state of being that's available to you, that's that far away, where you are no longer conscious of the possibility of you making a mistake in and of itself. That you're no longer, that never enters your mind. I mean, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I'm there, and I don't know how to explain that to you. And the only thing I know about is that I know it has something to do with the idea that the body is now ready or able to be burned, to be its own ashes. It has to do with this, it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you're saved or not. I mean, that's a non-issue. It doesn't have anything to do with whether or not you have any resources or you're able to pull something off or not. I mean, we're probably going to lose this lawsuit. I could care less. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't matter. I mean, I don't, the whether or not I could make a mistake or not never enters my mind. Now, that's a new thing. I used to be, whether you probably weren't aware of it, but I used to wonder whether or not I was really making a mistake here with you all.
Sometimes when you crack up,
it's funny that you would tell us that now.
Yes, I'm like, Harry, now it comes out.
Yeah.
The only time I ever saw you really do that, where it affected me and I saw the struggle, was that time with Rex when he got his heart operated on, do you remember? And you went back to your house and you were just destroyed and you started talking about, you know, oh, I hope we've done the right thing. And I remember being really surprised by that. He's never talked like this before, you know. It was wild.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying I didn't sit around and dwell on whether or not I was making a mistake or not and yelling at Harry, but it was there. The possibility of was there, but now it's not there. I don't know what happened. And it has to do with the idea of having your conscience purged, emptied from dead works. That, and it's an incredible place. Nothing in the universe is worth it. You have. No, the conscience once purged, because if the offer once purged, if it was truly purged, then you'd have no more consciousness of sin. Now, the only reason I'm saying this, and we're going to make it short tonight, because I don't want to talk about a lot of this without everybody here, but I want you to hunger for that position. I want you to hunger for the position that you're perfectly content in whatsoever state you find yourself. that there is absolutely nothing that can draw you away from this moment. You understand what I'm saying? It's an incredible position. And it isn't dependent on anything. Somehow it's related to the ashes of the red heifer. I know it. And therefore it's related to a body, truly becoming a body. You know, we've been hanging around for 20 years, you know, or something, some huge number of long time. But we've probably only really been hanging around like 3 years, you know, because we screwed up and we didn't redeem the time, we ex-deemed the time or something.
Undeemed.
Many years is as a week. Credit for a week.
Yeah. I mean, it's like Daryl, right?
Fine.
Huh?
An example.
No, I mean, like Daryl is studious and has learned the God stuff. And we laid hands on him reading? To, huh?
Read all the Enoch shit. And all
yeah. So what do we got? It's as if he heard, it's like, you know, he's undeemed the time.
He's going backwards.
He's moonwalking. I can't help it.
He's moonwalking away.
It's a turn. He's supposed to be content in whatever state he's on.
The other emblem or type that did this in a way was the scapegoat. And when Christ was being baptized, it's said, "Behold, the goat of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And the purpose of the scapegoat was to take away the consciousness of sin. Not that you can't make a mistake, that's not the issue. It's that you don't, that just never enters your mind. It's not I'm thinking, earlier today I was thinking about the kids and the parents and the responsibility. You know, if a parent could know that they couldn't make a mistake, what that would mean. I mean, how freeing that could be, that you could truly... So anyway, just know that the real issue of the ashes of the red heifer, it gets down to where you live on a 24-hour-a-day basis. It gets down to the true renewal of your mind, and that's what we want to address.
Well, if you're in a position where you don't take in the concept of sin or making a mistake, does that really have any relevance to you sinning or making a mistake in reality, just because you're not aware of it?
Behold the Lamb of God that has taken away the sin of the world. There's only one sin left, self-seeking, under any guise.
Not murder?
That's just the work of the flesh. That's just the flesh being flesh.
In your head all the time.
It's
just what meat does.
You don't. Again, the end of the commandment is unfeigned love of the brethren. That's all. The end of the commandment isn't a set of rules that you live by. And the unfeigned love, 1,000 times, whether you've done something right or wrong, if you've offended somebody, you will speak to it and you'll address it so that there's confession and forgiveness and life. But it's no longer on the basis of whether or not you as an individual have done or are doing or can do anything right, wrong, or indifferent. You're out of the equation. It's truly what the abandonment of self means. And it can't fully be understood until this position, when you understand and apprehend the ashes of the red heifer. Okay. Now, don't take this away and say, okay, now all he's preaching perfection. That's not what I've said. I will say, however, my job is to present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It has to have something to do with your consciousness. The idea that your goal is to present yourself a living sacrifice, be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You're transformed, you're transfigured by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind has to come along this arena. There's no more consciousness of sin. Understand? No.
It's pretty deep.
Only if it's deep, only.
Because I have labels on sin. I've labeled sin.
Well, but you haven't labeled it correctly. That's your problem. It's not that you have labeled it, is you haven't put enough labels on it.
Well, you've only done the bad, right?
Well, you've only done a very limited half scripture.
Right. Yeah.
Bullshit. I mean, it's meaningless. It's a philosophy. It's you might as well go to take freshman philosophy at SMU. It's the same. It has the same merit. And so what you think about it is totally. I mean, I can't tell you enough this. Not just you, but anybody. What you believe about it, what you think about it, is less than meaningful. Nobody cares. You've got to test it against the law. If it doesn't stand up to the law, then your philosophy is just silly. What you think about it is just absolutely stupid. Does that compute? Something doesn't compute.
Well, no, but with Christ in the equation, we're no longer talking about the law. We're talking about the blood.
If you're still back here in Egypt, hiding under the blood, waiting for redemption to come someday, then that's where you should be. I'm talking about sitting on the mercy seat 24 hours a day with no consciousness. Let every word you speak as the oracle of God. Being in a place where there is no more consciousness of sin because the offering once made is forever. Not just one simple understanding of blood. Blood isn't just one thing, it's a thousand different mysteries. I mean, you've got to get rid of your religion. Your religion is retained so it can compare.
Yeah.
If your religion can't stand the comparison of some idiot like me, what's it going to do to God? I mean, there's no debate, you understand?
I do.
Produce your strong cause.
Right.
And it gets, and I'm an idiot.
It's about that strong.
Okay, I'm an idiot, compared, you understand?
Right.
Now, talk to one of these rabbis, I mean, that know the law. And your answer would be, well, I'm not subject to the law because Jesus has come. They'd laugh you out of the... He didn't come to destroy the law, he came to fulfill it. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, the blood of Christ is going to do you no good.
You just lost me.
You have been taught that the blood of Christ, and Christ died to save you,
right,
as an isolated individual. Right. And so now God has come along and put his imprimatur on your being and said, praise God, now I'm saved.
Right.
I'm telling you that that's like saying, praise God, I just got born.
Born again.
No, but born. That's, salvation is only the first step. It's only the beginning. It's not.
It's always the end before. Salvation is always the end.
Well. I would ask you to consider that in the words that you're using, the word saved, they're saved when they cross the Red Sea. That's the point of salvation. But it was just the beginning of the process. I mean, you know, the gospel preached unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Them being here, the ones that crossed. Take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. To whom swear that they could not enter to his rest, but to them that believe not, to whom swear he that they should not enter or could not enter his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that they did not enter the rest because of unbelief. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that has entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. I mean, your form of religion is a religion of self-analysis. The form of religion of God is a form of the abandonment of self, taking no thought for yourself, for your life, in any way. I mean, they're incompatible. Can you see that? But it's worse than that, because your religion is based on half scriptures. It's based on a piece here and a piece there and a piece here, put together in a way that gives, whose fundamental purpose is to give you righteousness over someone else. Do you have a concordance at home? Do a scripture search on the first thing that Christ said. No. Abandon yourself, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. Do a scripture search on the word deny. All the times the word deny is used. It's used in two different ways. One is to deny yourself, which means to abandon. And the other is, it says, if you deny him before men, he will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. The word deny there is to mean to build up as a dam. If you deny him by building up as a dam before men, he will deny you. And those two are the two ways that it's denied. It's apodiomai, which doesn't mean stop doing something. Like, oh, I'm going to deny myself because I'm going to quit smoking, or I'm going to quit drinking, or there's no dancing and dancing, or whatever it is. The word deny means to take absolutely no thought of or about yourself in any dimension. Now, couple that with what I said tonight. What I said tonight is the end result of the denial of self. There's no more consciousness of self, whether self is doing right or wrong or indifferent, because there is a perfect abandonment or denial of self. That cannot come by the salvation of the isolated self. That was the meaning of the, it can only come when a body has been prepared. And that's the meaning of the ashes of the red heifer. It's the reason the sacrifice was a female. It's the only communal sacrifice that was a female, because it's a type of us being willing to be burned in the fires. Okay? Take a big guy.